from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
Welcome to the GoodAtheist.net podcast. My name is Jacob Forte.
And I'm Ryan Harkness.
Now, if you are surprised and wondering, what the hell, is there a new show in my iTunes podcast list? What's happening? Is there a whole bunch of shows appearing?
I thought the Good Atheist was dying.
Oh, my God. Well, we are now in the beginning stages of the Save the Good Atheist campaign. Basically what that is I decided to stop being a, what's what I'm looking for?
Little bitch,
and just essentially try to reignite everything, get it kickstarted, give it one last fucking go before I give up on something. Jesus Christ. So, is that you?
That was my cell phone.
Oh, okay.
Doing stuff.
It's okay.
I'm a popular man.
You are a popular man. And you know what the beauty of recording these shows so early is that editing is no problem.
Oh, are you going to take out the charm of my cell phone vibrating?
Yes, I think I might.
Pshaw. Pshaw makes it less real, less raw.
Yeah, that's true. But how much do people really like raw shows? I don't think they like raw shows that much. You know, I think people like tight shows. That's why subscriptions went up when we got tighter. I think when we were all flighty, people hated it.
Interesting.
I got some emails regarding the last podcast, which was a little too long, talking about just our shit. So well, I realize I'm saving that for the bonus shows, by the way, to let everybody know news about the site, because that's the people who give a shit.
Yeah, exactly. I was always, I think I've said this a couple times, it was getting too meta. People wanted to hear us talk shit about God.
Well, there'll be plenty of that today. What we're going to be talking about is something I had almost planned on avoiding this whole topic, because it is the only thing that populates my Facebook. All right, it's the Republicans fight against women's wombs. That war, the war of contraception, baby, that's what is absorbing everyone's mind because election time. And what is the one thing you could always count on during American elections? The fact that people are talking about things that don't matter. I think that's pretty clear.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, why would you ever want to discuss anything like the economy or economic disparity or anything that starts with eco?
Well, you could put ecology there, too.
Whoa!
They don't want to talk about that. But yes, the big news, the thing that no one can get over, the thing that is endlessly occupying my Facebook pages and my fucking RSS reader, is the insanity of the religious right trying to basically take every single form of contraception away from women. Like, no fooling. And it begins, actually, from an article. Like, there's one article I wanted to talk about, which appeared in Huffington Post, which mentioned the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. This conference is essentially a whole bunch of celibate men that have been pushing for essentially the erosion of most of the legislation that's been going through with the Obamacare, I hate calling it that, that would require companies to essentially include contraception in their healthcare. And this little provision, that should not be a big deal to anyone because this was happening before it was even Obamacare. This was just happening. But, you know, because everybody goes crazy as soon as there's a little baby inside a womb. Oh, my God, there's a little baby there. Anyways, because everybody goes crazy, people have decided to focus on this and essentially say our religious rights are being infringed if you're forcing us to give contraception to women. So the first thing I want to talk about is how this is the new strategy, okay? Everything's being framed not in terms of women's rights, which is what this is all about, but rather religious freedoms. So these Catholic bishops are complaining that their religious rights are being infringed when a woman puts contraception in her mouth, that they somehow, you know, paid through third parties. And you got to wonder to yourself, like, at what point is it going to be enough? You know, what point do these guys say, well, we're going to stop meddling in things?
You know, I kind of like when they meddle. I mean, it's horrible and it's gross And as you watch it, and as you watch presidential debates, and as you read newspapers on a day-to-day basis, or you watch the 24-hour cable news cycle, you vomit a little bit in your mouth. But at the same time, this is kind of up there with that gay rights issue, where this is one of those positions that religious people are going to get up on that hill, and they're going to die on that hill. They're going to die badly. I mean, when it comes down to it, I'll start getting terrified once Santorum wraps up that presidential nomination. And even that could be one of those things where it's just the overreach is too great. The religious people have gone too far. It's time for a good shit-kicking back down that hill. Get out of here, you fucking psychos.
But, see, that is one possibility, and I'm very hopeful for that possibility because there's lots of signs to point that that's true. But here's my general problem, right? When you think to yourself, who is responsible for really making change in society? Is it the majority of us who have, say, opinions in regards to women's rights that's like, they should have the choice? You know, like most Americans would say, women should have the choice. The vast majority of them, in fact. But it's not the vast majority of people that make laws, is it? It's actually a frightening tiny minority. And those people, those minorities, are usually powerful groups that have lots of money behind them and a really solid agenda, let's just say.
God bless democracy, the best system of all.
We're not here to have a debate about democracy.
We're just talking about politics. I mean, and you know what? We've been very good. We've done hundreds of shows, and I think that we have managed to keep this from becoming a talking about what the American system is up to, because, you know, I would shoot myself in the head, just put a gun right in there and blow my...
If we did a regular show about this?
If it was just constantly about it. But it's impossible to ignore right now what's going on.
You have a show on atheism. I just cannot ignore the continued war on women. I just can't.
No.
Because there's a couple of things that I wanted to mention. Because, number one, it's funny. And number two, I think it's really relevant to today's...
Is it funny haha or funny depressing?
Well, you remember that word, hilaro tragic?
Yeah.
That I wanted to sort of like coin? Yeah, it's like that. Where we recognize that it's kind of funny, but we're just like, I wish we weren't like that. It's when you admit your own foibles, except for you have to admit the foibles of humanity. You know, you have to fucking... that's a huge load. Think about everything that humanity represents. And think about how many of those things suck. How many of those things you got to be like, yep, we're like that. We're a bunch of rapists. We're a bunch of fucking genocidal maniacs. We've done it. We keep doing it. That's us. That's part of us. So, you know, it's really hard to absorb those. You try to have a little bit of lightheartedness. Hence, hilaro-tragic. Because if you can't laugh about it, you might as well just jump off a bridge. Note, do not jump off a bridge.
Yeah, I'm actually really glad that you can have like a nice black sense of humor, and you can just laugh at all of the horrible things that happen in this world.
You know, well, you can laugh at it because, especially if you study a little bit of history, you realize, wow, things are still pretty good. You know, like, while we may debate with each other, or even with what we consider to be fundamentalists, I'm like, it's nothing compared to how it used to be, dude. They didn't used to have arguments about legislature. Everybody just used to get out their swords and kill everybody. That's how they... that was conflict resolution just a few hundred years ago. That's not it today. And so even though something seems tragic, like for instance in Virginia, where they were trying to force women to have basically a tube shoved up their vagina every time they wanted to have an abortion so that it could take an ultrasound... And then some people, it got a little bit too much press for everyone, and when they realized, wow, your doctor has to rape you in order to allow you the opportunity to have an abortion.
Yeah, that was a Facebook phrasing of the situation. I remember reading it, and then I saw something on Facebook where it was like, everybody was basically saying, the doctor's going to rape you. If you want an abortion, you have to have a doctor rape you. And I'm like,
that's an exaggeration, but it's very powerful. It's very powerful to frame it. You know what? That's what the fucking religious right does all the time. They do it so good. And when the left does it well, we're almost shocked. We're like, oh my God, you should be more honest. Fuck that. Like, you know what? Here's the thing. You can't be honest all the time, right? You can't overstate the things you should be honest about. Let me give you an example. So Richard Dawkins... had a debate with the Archbishop of Canterbury a couple days ago, and the Daily Mail jumped on the fact that Richard Dawkins admitted that he was somewhat of an agnostic, because of course he can't disprove God. Of course, his agnosticism...
Because everybody's an agnostic.
Yes, everyone is a fucking agnostic, but tell that to some podunk fucking journalist who doesn't understand the differentiation between the two. And he's like, oh, Richard Dawkins, actually an agnostic. See, the problem is when you're when you have to overstate a case, that's what people focus on. A religious person will focus on any bit of doubt you have and say, aha, you're not 100% sure about your reality.
Well, journalism is no longer the search for truth. It's the search for page views. And that creates some, I know I am in that business myself. I will change all headlines to make them as sensationalist as possible in order to get people to click on them links.
That's how it is.
Because bitch got to get paid, son.
Listen, you either do that or you put cats on your website. That's the only way to generate hits.
Cats and lies. Let's do it.
I was actually, here's a tangent. I was thinking about why cats are so popular on the internet, and I think I realized why.
Why?
Well, there's two reasons, actually. The first reason is that cats are everything we want to be. Do you know what I mean? They're lazy. They sleep all day. They do what the fuck they want. They get other people to pick up their shit for them. They are essentially an idealized form of living that we want to have. Okay? And number two, they're insanely adorable. Of course they're adorable. We've been breeding them to be everything we want out of an animal, including its selfishness, which I think we idolize. So cats are perfect, man. They're the idealistic creature to put on the internet because it's representative of us, our obsession with cuteness, and our complete fucking absorption with ourselves.
You don't have to tell me. I'm a cat lover through and through. They're like tiny tigers. I mean, who doesn't want a tiger? I heard that they have scientifically made, like, some kind of cat-slash-tiger hybrid, and I'm just like, it sounds too dangerous. Cats themselves are already
close enough. We already did
They're
it.
Already close enough. We've already brought it down. We got them. It's like dogs are just wolves. It's like,
and plus,
cool
why would
that.
You want a tiger? I believe tigers don't purr. So, I mean, purring is part of the reason why we like cats.
Yeah, it is nice to know when they enjoy our affections. If only real women purred. Uncontrollable purring.
That would be a little bit weird and unsettling. It would change the dynamic of things, if you want, because I think that part of the reason why the sexual roles are somewhat balanced is because a woman who likes a guy will not necessarily be overt about it. She'll hide that because I think that if we knew how much they want us, we would use that that power probably poorly.
True.
We should not be given sexual power. We never use it right. Like, ever. I'm just glad that that's mostly in the hands of ladies. Ladies, it's up to you.
Now, bringing us back from our tangent of a tangent from cats to women's desire, you know how we roll.
That's how it is.
I want to bring it back just quickly to that, to the Virginia rape wand. Because I was taking a look at the picture, because, you know, they had the whole picture of the hand of the doctor and the wand that was going in.
The vajayjay?
Yeah, exactly. And it was a pretty significant
size.
Yeah, exactly. It looks basically like, you know, those handheld barcode scanners that they have? And these are similar to the ones that they would actually rub on the belly, but these ones actually get inserted in. But what it really looked like, I used to have this vanilla ice wraps game, and it came with a little yellow quote-unquote microphone that would beatbox, and then you'd rap into it. And it looked exactly like the Vanilla Ice microphone.
That sounds, well, you know, at the time you were a child, so your hand probably wasn't as large. Could you compensate in your mind and tell me roughly the diameter of this thing? Is it bigger than a quarter?
Well, I mean, it's big, it's significant enough because it's like equivalent to a penis, so you can't say that it's just...
Is it really that big? I thought maybe it was like one of those... You know, Mission Impossible, like cameras that goes around corners?
No, it's got some thickness to it.
It probably got some thickness because it's probably a pretty complicated fucking piece of machinery here.
Yeah.
It's sending a shitload of sound waves through you, and guess what? We're not so technologically advanced that it's going to be the thinness of a spaghetti strand.
It has to be complicated because it needs to make women feel bad about abortion.
Well, they should feel bad. Don't they know that they're the cutest little objects in the universe?
That whole law is just an extension on the idea of trying to make abortions as horrible as possible.
Yeah,
they're like, you got
unpleasant.
Look at this picture of the baby. Look at the all these Hallmark cards that you would be giving your child. You have to write the first 10 birthday cards to your child that you're about to abort before we'll let you abort it. Really think about it. Pick a name for the fetus. You got to pick a name.
I wouldn't be surprised if there was a piece of legislation that said you need to pick a name before you abort it. I fucking bet you any money.
Listen to the heartbeat. It's like there's like 101 things where they're like, we really want you to think about it. It's so fucked up because to me, the idea of an abortion is, I think we need to go the other way. I think the idea
it needs to be less of a big deal.
Of women having to go through that, like half the abortion clinics that you got out there are going to have people outside it picketing and yelling and screaming and this and that.
Oh, that's so unpleasant. I mean, did I tell you that there are more of these crisis pregnancy centers, places that masquerade as Planned Parenthood, but in fact try to dissuade people from actually getting abortions, calling them, harassing them, often in the same parking lots as Planned Parenthood? There are 10 times more of these than any of the legitimate ones. So, yeah, it is kind of fucking scary. The process is as unpleasant as it could possibly be.
Yeah, and when you think about it, I mean, that's just messing people up. Because to me, the idea is, like, if you could have one in the privacy of your own home, so you're not in this weird sterile room where they inject you with something and wander out, or any of the other horrific fucking procedures, there's ways that it could be much more comfortable and less unnerving. But of course,
I think it should just be done in your really swanky basement, where we'll put up some nice drapes. You know, we were planning to do it in the abortion van, which I have now drawn. I'm going to be putting up that shortly.
The abortion van.
Yeah, actually, for this episode, will be the graphic, the abortion van, the one that looks like the Scooby-Doo one.
Excellent.
Because, yeah, I believe that access to abortion is extremely important. In fact, it's life-saving. And this is the part that really bugs me, right? Where everyone who's had their little fucking opinion about the sanctity of life and blah, 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 well, if you believe in the sanctity of life, then you have to appreciate the fact that abortions need to fucking happen to save lives. Like, no shit. You save lives with it.
There's lives that are much more worthy to save, like a whole bunch of people in Africa or the people in Syria. Like, there's a whole bunch of people that you might want to be considering.
Let me tell you what, there's plenty of candidates for your charity and your love. They're out there. I mean, every fucking pro-life, which is, I'd say, number one, the most obnoxious word, because who's anti-life? Like, I don't like life. I try to obliterate it with my flamethrower at every opportunity. We're all pro-life. You're not pro-life or anti-life. You're either anti-choice or pro-choice. It really is. It should be defined in these terms, because pro-lifers, statistically speaking, are for the death penalty. It immediately alleviates the whole pro-life thing from the whole movement, don't you think?
Yeah, it kind of discounts their ability to claim that they are pro-life.
Yeah, your sense of moral superiority should quickly erode once you realize that you're a fucking hypocrite bastard. Have a look at thyself and realize that the reason why you're against it is the same reason why cats are popular on the internet. Cute things really get to us, and we want to care about cute things. And when things are ugly, like, suffering is fucking ugly, dude. It's really ugly. Nobody wants to really deal with that, but they want the warm, fuzzy fucking feeling of being like, I helped. And what better way than to be a sanctimonious jackass going around giving women a hard time about terminating their pregnancies? You can be like, I'm a good person. I saved a baby today. Yeah. Nice job, buddy. Making people feel like shit, harassing them, calling them. No, you're a good person. You should be given a medal.
It's important that that zygote turns into something more.
Yeah, to a bitter human being. I was mentioning a Greek play that I think that we should go back to and just essentially emulate in today's society. It's called Lysistrata. Basically, the play is about a bunch of women who withhold sex to stop men from fighting in the Peloponnesian War. And it's effective. It works. They use the one power that, you know, women still have around the world, which is to control the means of reproduction. Guys want to get laid, you stop that. I cannot even stress how much you could possibly change things if women were a little bit more organized. Of course, the whores will probably fucking betray you, but still, I think we could get kind of majority consensus here from the ladies who are married to men who are trying to take their rights away. You know, a good example is in Virginia, this guy called David Albo decided he was going to share a very personal story about trying to seduce his wife one night.
This is like a politician, right?
That is correct. He's a state representative of Virginia, the same place that had the ultrasound rape device.
Rape wand.
Yeah,
vanilla
rape
ice
wand.
Rape wand.
So he goes home. Oh, boy. So he goes home, puts his kid to bed, and then he gets some red wine and some Barry White music, because apparently he learned his seduction from, like, 80s movies. And he's laying on his oral, yeah, baby, let's do this. And I guess they're watching TV, because it's a really romantic thing to do. And they fall upon Rachel Maddow's show, who's talking about this very law that her, you know, that this man had been trying to push through. And the wife, unsurprisingly, was like, I'm going to go to bed. See you later. And he joked about this, being like, ha, 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 my wife withheld sex because I'm trying to rape women with this wand. What a surprise. And I thought to myself, you know what, David? You're a fucking retard. I mean, you're an idiot. But you're onto something, I think. Well, at least your wife was onto something. Ladies, in Virginia now, they've taken this particular amendment out of this obligation. They're still going to make you take an ultrasound or who knows what. You can
They're going to do something. It's not going to be vaginal, so I guess that's okay.
Whatever. It's anal now, so it's less bad. they basically decided to take away this provision. I'm like, well, maybe you could take it a little bit further. You know what I mean? Like, it's time to get organized. And this leads me to something else that's really important. I mean, you might think that I'm just being really silly. Oh, you're just being an idiot. No, I want you to be aware of something that's called Bateman's Principle. Okay, Bateman's Principle is kind of like a scientific theory, if you want. That's not complete, but it's just a general theory that tends to be true. Is that if an organism, the organism that has the most to lose or invest the most in reproduction tends to be the one that controls it. Okay? Now, ladies, I think you know where I'm going with this. You have always the most to lose, the most risk. You still control sexual selection. That is a real force of nature, okay? I think to some degree sexual selection has actually made us who we are today, the less aggressive version of our ancient selves. And who's been responsible for this? Women, actually, the ladies, who said no to more bad boys and yes to more of the good guys. And those good guys had babies, and there's now more of them than there ever was before, because we're super peaceful now. That's you ladies. But I'm saying you need to put that pressure up a little, you know what I mean? Turn it up a notch, because it's not working, because even in a country where you have an unprecedented amount of rights, they're still trying to take them away from you. Old white dudes trying to take it away from you. And let me tell you something, no one is hornier than an old white dude. So guess what, ladies? It's time to withhold. It's time to get frigid. It's time to make a change.
Fight for your rights.
Fight for your fucking reproductive rights the best way. Deny these jackasses the ability to reproduce. Breed them out. Breed them out. You can do it. We're counting on your ovaries and your wombs to propel us into the future.
Don't have sex with Republicans. It basically comes down to that. I mean, Jesus Christ, if there was a... It's kind of like, you know how in Egypt, everybody's afraid because, oh no, the Muslim Brotherhood, the religious group is going to take power. Well, in America, we have the Republican Party, and right now, it's between Rick Santorum, who's very obviously a psycho-religious bastard.
So psycho.
And Mitt Romney, who keeps it hidden just under the surface, but he's crazy too, just for a different God. Well, it's the same... Quote unquote, Mormons.
It feels different enough that I'd be like, it's a different dude. I can understand why Christians fucking hate Mormons, because I'm like, they're like, well, Jesus is the Archangel Michael, and he's on this planet fucking and creating spiritual children. You're just like, what? Yep, I can understand the fact that you would be a little bit ticked off about that. But you know what? Like,
well, I mean, Santorum said that, what was it, Protestants aren't real fucking religious people either with their crazy ideas.
Obviously, if push came to shove and you were just asking most of these religious people, even part of the conservative religious right, if they would support a man like Santorum, given no other... You know, given the fact that if Obama didn't exist and they were on their own theocratic, idealized world, no. No, of course not, because the majority of Americans don't believe the specifics of Rick Santorum. But that's the whole thing. There's literally no religious majority to speak of. They all fundamentally disagree on lots of really important things. It's just that we lump them together under the word Christians. This is a really recent thing, by the way. Baptists have hated, you know, Methodists and so on and so forth. Like, that's just how they are, okay? But when they feel threatened by individuals who are like, fuck all religion, bitch, they can kind of galvanize. And this is something that I feel like we should be aware of.
We need to start dividing and conquering.
Well, we need
splitting them
to
up into their individual religious subsects and really pitting them against each other, pointing out all the things that they totally disagree with each other over.
Well, it's true. I mean, let me tell you, the strategy doesn't seem for us to get organized. That's not happening. Or if it's happening too slowly, we have too little power compared to there. But trust me, they don't agree on anything, really. The only thing they agree on is the fact that God is awesome. But trust me when I say that there's lots of other stuff that's associated with religion. The God is awesome, that's their first little sales pitch. Once that's done, they're like, "And you got to do everything I tell you to do." That's normally the process.
Step two.
Step two, do everything we tell you to do. Fucking fantastic.
Step three, ignore all the contradictions.
Well, but, you know, here's the thing. We've been talking about politics this whole time. And the one thing that I want people to understand is that I've actually been profoundly disappointed with politics for a while now for two reasons. One is I believe that they're essentially just, most of the time, politics will be dichotomous views that are really separate from what I actually believe, but they're kind of like necessary positions that I need to maintain. Like, it's if one group decides we need a theocracy, I don't have a choice but to be part of the fucking opposite view, right? That we shouldn't have one. I'd rather that it was not an issue. But as soon as someone makes the declaration that I want things to change into this God world that I've created, you're like, well, now I gotta fucking pick up arms. Now I gotta go to war with these motherfuckers because I don't want that. They're forcing that shit on me and I can't fucking do anything but fight it. I'm like, I would rather it was not like that. But it is. I mean, and I think that to some degree, every time we hear that, it has to kind of remind us the fact, not only are we so fledgling in what we do, like, I'm almost embarrassed as to how small, divided, and pathetic we are. I really hope it's not going to be like that in 10 years.
We as atheists?
Yeah. As a group. I mean, like, historically speaking, this is the hardest group to corral.
Well, again,
in the history of fucking mankind, atheists, the hardest people to corral, I swear to you.
It's because the only defining factor is that we believe in nothing. So that's not a very good rallying call. I mean, if we have any hope to get to where we need to be, we need one of those convenient labels like humanist.
But see, that's the whole thing. That's not the rallying call that we should say. It's not that the rallying call isn't, I don't believe in any deities. It's that all these other motherfuckers believe in one, and they're ruining my life. Okay? Because that's what they want to do. In a sense, they want to ruin it. They want to control it, and it will ruin your life. Trust me. The way that religion exerts control on lives, I mean, it scares me. Think about the reason why the Catholic Church is pushing to remove reproductive rights, because as far as they're concerned, sex is evil and dirty. They think that celibacy is better than sex. They're fucked up, okay? That is a fucked up mentality for any organism to have. I don't want to reproduce. Shut the fuck up. You're retarded. Species can't fucking, look up to celibacy. It's wrong. It's based on this poisonous idea that comes right from the Middle Ages of the need for purity, right? For perfection, which is what they associate. Purity and perfection are associated. What a dangerous combination. Dangerous. What the fuck is purity? It's just an invention, man. A fucking scary invention of a bunch of celibate men.
It's goals that we tell you are important.
Yeah. Should not be listened to. And but unfortunately it is. I mean, Rick Santorum's a Catholic, and that's why he's very much against contraception, and that's why in that whole battle against it, he's sort of like the leading voice, because he's Catholic. And he's like, no, Onan spilled his seed. Contraception's evil. And that is it. That is the theological explanation, ladies and gentlemen. Ta-da!
Yep, there's nothing in the Bible that says that you can't pay into a fund that will eventually go into an insurance thing that then pays for non-believers or people who just don't care's contraceptive funding plans. This is a completely manufactured issue. It's basically a wedge issue that was brought in and is now serving Rick Santorum very well because he's getting a whole bunch of attention out of it.
Well, at the very least, he's... If he writes a book, sorry, I can say that with a straight face, but if a book is written for him, even if he doesn't win, which he won't, he can still make a lot of money. He will make a ridiculous amount of money, in fact.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, half the people that were running for president of the United States this time around, they didn't really want the job. They just wanted the promotional push that could then lead them to higher paid speaking engagements and be able to sell a bestseller book. So it's all just a big money grab. Democracy, the best system.
Shut up. I don't want to debate democracy on the show. I feel like I can't. But here's the closing thought that I want to just put in there, because at least on this issue, is the fact that I feel like these kinds of pressures, like these wedge issues, force us into these camps, right, where I have to agree with people on the left who hold views that I think are totally stupid, right? Just as someone who still believes I'm a Republican, goddammit, I'll stay because I'm a fiscal conservative. Guess what, dude? The people in power, they're not like you anymore. That party's dead, you know? Parties change. And the problem is that anybody who's a fiscal conservative, and you know what? Here's the thing. I can kind of I can appreciate where you're coming from. Like, I've studied economics in my time, and I recognize where your thoughts come from. I really do. But that's not the party that you belong to anymore. That party's dead. And you just have to accept that now, when we're talking about political races, unfortunately, it's boiled down to very, you know, strict ideal. It's been divided under strict ideological lines. And I got to tell you, you know, if you're continuing to vote, let's say Republican, because you want to maintain that conservative element of yourself, I'm sorry to say that you're making a fucking giant mistake. You really are. And that's what's so horrible about your political system now. You're forced to, jump onto a party that you don't agree with. I feel the same fucking way. But these parties don't exist. You're in a two-party system, and you're fucked. So,
well, fortunately, there has been talk that this might be like the last crazy kick of a Republican Party gone insane. Like, the reckoning is going to happen afterwards. Everybody's going to smarten up. They're going to get back to their fiscally responsible roots. They're going to figure out a way where small government means something other than just cutting the Social Security net.
Small government is only possible if you have a small military. If those two things don't happen together, then you don't have small government.
Yep.
So you have to actually be against the military as the new conservative, because that's your main expenditure. If you want to be financially responsible, you cannot conduct wars. Sorry.
Well, you know what? You can even conduct wars. You got to understand, the majority of this money is just going into these ridiculous money pit projects that the Pentagon funds. It is the biggest. Like, all of that money is going towards companies that have influence in Congress to get bills passed to appropriate funds for all of these weird projects. I mean, I will say this. There's a lot of jobs. And a lot of jobs means there's a lot of people making a lot of money off of it.
But those are government jobs, essentially.
Exactly. The majority of the money is still getting sucked up towards the higher top, to the less people.
The military-industrial complex is essentially the government now. So despite the fact that it's being run by private companies, if they're being funded by the government, those are government jobs. So if you're against the big government, guess what? You're against those, military spending. So I'm just going to say that I'm not sure we're going to witness that anytime soon, because, you know, the modern day Republican has a lot of contradictory elements to his ideology.
I don't know. I don't want to end it on a grim note. I think that there's a very good chance that come this spring, when Occupy pops back up and things get crazy again and a whole bunch of interesting political ideas get put forth and people start getting crazy.
I want a third party in America, a real centrist party. A real one, you know? Just one that would shake things up and not make it so two-party. Fuck! It's totally broken. If America continues that way, because look, when you only have two parties, you only have two ideological positions to choose from. That's horrible. Because you're never going to fully agree with either of them. Shit! That's the real problem for me. And I think if you read Michael Shermer's new book, which I'll put a link to,
Well, is this the violence one?
No, that's Steven Pinker's.
Oops. Uh-oh. Mistake.
Yeah. Anyways. Oh, shit, I'm forgetting the name of his new book. It'll be in the notes. But if you read Michael Shermer's new book, which is essentially almost exactly like Why We Believe Weird Things, except for just the updated version, I think the most interesting part of his book is where he's talking about politics. Because he's a libertarian, but, you know, pretty much on the left. And I think that his criticisms of the way that people make those ideological divides and those lines is valid. You know, like, I don't agree with his libertarianism, but I agree with his arguments in terms of the other sides and how people are just forced into these motherfucking corners. And I fear for any politics where that's true. You know, I hope you're right. I hope that next year the crazy's all been fucking weeded out. I think for that to happen, a lot of 80-year-olds need to die. And then their 70-year-old counterparts also need to die. So I'm saying that maybe the quality of pharmaceutical drugs need to lower a little bit. Or maybe send some bad ones.
Maybe they won't get themselves vaccinated.
Well,
and it'll all work out.
Actually, no, I just thought about this. I know how it's going to all end. Here's what's going to happen. If sort of like this new version of conservatism takes hold and they eliminate Medicare, Medicaid, and all those other things, old people will die. And typically these are the folks that are actually giving the most of their support. So they're actually going to kill their base off. It's hilarious.
Meanwhile, scaring off every single ethnic group that's growing, like... Oh, just
fuck the Mexicans! I wouldn't say that if I
fuck the Hispanics. So yeah, they're pretty much they're going to be.
There are more Hispanics now than black people, so you better fucking respect them.
Yeah, and fuck the gays and fuck women, or rather, don't fuck women unless you're married, and definitely don't use contraception.
Well, that's the one thing that I thought was pretty hilarious. Maureen Dowd wrote an article saying, "Why is the right against sex? Sex is popular. You cannot be against sex and win." I mean, like, even the temperance movement that was anti-alcohol, they managed to make a few victories. The fucking 18th Amendment, you know, prohibiting alcohol. Pretty fucking big victory, but guess what the 24th Amendment said? The 18th Amendment is bullshit. So, you know, every once in a while, sure, you can have a small victory, but it only galvanizes everybody else. And let me tell you something. If you're anti-sex and you're anti-women, women are the majority. If they wake up, if they can fucking wake up, then, you know, they will crush you. They will crush you. So don't be anti-woman and anti-sex. That's my general recommendation for any party. Like, see into the future, people. Women are the future. They're more than men. They make more money statistically, and they will do so more and more. They will be more successful. Women are the future.
Yeah, this is all just a big religious backlash. This is religious people trying to exert their influence and... to a certain degree, we're going to have to put up with a lot of bullshit in the meantime, but in the long run, it's going to be better for everybody because there will be that blowback, and it could very well change everything forever. We could finally have that moment where once again, because I feel like at this point in time, you know the big meme, or not the general idea that atheists are taking over and pushing religious people back in that whole...
We're big, meanie faces.
Yeah, we're big, meanie faces, and religious people are being persecuted, and now religious people are coming back and saying, well, you know what? Fuck you all, and we're going to put this and this and this on the table. And once people see...
Well, who's the bad guys, basically? You'll see that even though the majority of Americans think that atheists are akin to rapists, we're actually the fucking good guys. We really are. I mean, it may not seem like that to them, but in a sense, our struggles for our rights gives them more rights. You know, the fucking Buddhist who just doesn't want Christian prayers in Congress? Yeah, that's us fighting for that shit. That's us. That's not you. So, you're welcome.
You're welcome, religion.
Okay, before we end the show, I do want to remind everybody that the new site is up. The sexy new site, baby. Along with a cool little player where you can play the shows. It's awesome. It looks like a little cassette and shit like that. It is badass. Go to the site now and go to the forums, everybody. Anyone who asked me for forums who is not posting the forums, come on now.
Yeah, the new set is pretty badass. I remember the old one. It was funny. The thing about the old one was that looking at it, you wouldn't even know that it was for a podcast.
It's true.
Now the new site is all about the podcast. You'll be able
it's
to go there.
Face.
You'll see images linking you to all of the different topics, all of the main topics in the
and
show.
It's not the same boring graphic that I used. Every single fucking show gets its own graphic to sort of emphasize what the topics are about. It's brilliant. It makes sense. I don't know why I didn't do this before, but
it's very pretty. And congratulations to you for doing it.
Well, thank you. Like I said before in the last show, this is one of the dragons that I fucking intended on slaying. There's two more. One of them is the book, obviously. And in the next couple of weeks, I'm hoping to put up the sample cover as I put up the pre-sales for it. I mean, it's going to be badass. And with this whole Save Good Atheist campaign, the response so far has been great. I mean, I haven't been telling people to renew. And there's a whole bunch of people that have renewed as hardcore members, like $5 a month. And let me tell you something. Although I was offering the deal for, you know, like, it's going to come up after this weekend for $30 for pre-order of the book, the audiobook, and renewing your membership, anyone in that time that has ever donated $5 or is going to do so within that campaign, you're getting a fucking book. Like, I'm not talking the e-book. You're getting the physical book. I'm going to fucking ship it to you, and I'm going to sign it, because you guys are the reason why I'm still around, like, quite literally. The hardcores, if it wasn't for their fucking monies coming in, I mean, it would be over. You guys are the fucking real deal. Like, you are the support network that has allowed me to survive. Like, without you guys, I'm literally nothing. So I don't know if I can properly convey how much I appreciate the people who do that. Like, emphasis added here. That's amazing. And every time I sell, like, one of those hardcores, it's like I sold 3 memberships. It's like, it takes the burden off so much when people do that. So it's amazing, and I just wanted to thank everybody that did that. And have been continuing to do that and just believe in this fucking site. Like, it's amazing.
So. You guys believe, and we believe. Maybe we can all believe.
Have some faith. Ew. Did I just say that? Who am I? Okay, well, before I fly off the handle, I think we're going to conclude that. So I hopefully you guys enjoyed the free bonus show. It's going to be this whole month. This just the same way we did when we launched the podcast for the first time, where we were saying there's 2 podcasts a week. One of them is going to be bonus content that's going to go behind a Patreon wall. But for now, that wall is open to reintroduce you guys, reinvite you, and say, yeah, I fucked up in the past, guys. I didn't produce the shows. I wish I could tell you what happened in that interim, but it's not interesting. Maybe one day you'll read about it in my biography. But until then, realize that I'm trying to kickstart this bitch. I'm fucking serious about it. I've never been this fucking serious. The new site should give you a bit of a clue into that, and I've fulfilled lots of promises. The forms are up, guys, and I'm loving it. Like, honestly, I'm loving when you guys are writing. I read everything. Go on the forums now. I encourage you. Every time you do that, it's going to help the site. All right. With that, I'd like to thank Ryan for being on the show, and hopefully he's going to be part of this whole thing, right?
I'm still around.
You're committing to the... Because people miss you, dude, when you're not on the show.
I'm still around.
All right, with that, my name is Jacob Forte.
And I'm Ryan Harkness.
Have a good Atheist Day, everybody.